Yeah, so my presentation is about protecting creativity in the online era. So I think today, as already mentioned a couple of times, if you look at the last few years, I think has really been the golden age of content. You see so many original productions, but also you see that that both box office receipts and revenues from online video streaming are still increasing. It was said a couple of years ago, very soon China will basically overtake the US in box office revenues, but it's actually not happening now until maybe 2020 or 2021. So it's clear that the US is still, let's say, dominating entertainment. And that's very good in terms of the growth of the industry. But of course, that's also very clearly attracting more piracy. So that's the flip side. And I think an article that was published a couple of days ago in talking about, let's say, the season premiere of Game of Thrones also illustrates that. On the one hand, you see that it's great that it's, I mean, in the seventh season, still attracting an enormous amount of viewers. At the same time, you see also that the post-release piracy was estimated in this article to be around 90 million views, 90 million views of the season premiere. So that shows both the great, let's say, original productions and also the fact that online piracy is still growing very strongly. So I think, of course, piracy is detrimental to the revenue of and the profits of the entertainment companies, but it's also good to realize that it also affects basically a lot of workers in the creative industry. So there are about 22 million worldwide, and these go from set decorators to visual effects designers to scout location people to camera operators. So so it's good to note that this is not just about big business, but it's also about people's livelihoods. Go next slide. Can I do it myself or? So in terms of piracy, what we've seen over the last years is really, let's say, the move from what we called service piracy to content piracy. It used to be that if you talk about piracy, it was about basically hacking a pay TV box. You're in the US, maybe hacking a DirecTV box or a Dish box or a cable box. Nowadays, it's really about content piracy. It's about pirates being able to access content at any point in the chain. So it doesn't really require a lot of, expensive or difficult equipment or expertise to do that. It's actually quite easy to, for instance, so to take the output of an HDMI or do a screen grab of an online video service. So basically to get the content has become relatively easy. And even more so, uploading it, you could say making it available, is even easier. Before, maybe you had to basically have a factory to create discs or tapes, and you had to have some kind of a retail operation to make basically get them to the consumers. Now all of that role is played by the internet. So it's no wonder that indeed content piracy, if you talk to entertainment companies, if you talk to operators, content piracy is really seen as the number one threat. That's also illustrated by the fact that in June, 30 entertainment companies came together. It's called in a coalition called ACE. So I think it's the Alliance of Content. I forget the Creative Entertainment. Thanks, Guy. So indeed, these companies, they're going to work very closely with MPA to basically fight content piracy. So they see indeed where the threat is. Next slide, please. I think I'm going to put this away. I think my voice is loud enough.
Oh, I need you on that mic.
Yes, yeah.
We'll turn you down.
Okay, please. So we looked a bit at the trends on basically pirates accessing content. But if you look at the pirate content consumption side, actually the trends have even been stronger. So what happened? So of course, if you look at what happened quite a number of years ago, is the fact that broadband now is ubiquitous, at least in the US, in Europe, and despite what some people said earlier today, also in Asia. If you see in China or in many other Asian countries, actually, basically, broadband penetration is higher than in many European or US countries or US territories. So that's basically old news. That was already there. What's really changed more over the last few years is the availability of consumer streaming technology. So, and that's, I mean, David also basically alluded to that. We're talking about streaming boxes. We're talking about Kodi. So there's all kinds of technology available that consumers can simply buy or install. And in that way, they can actually connect a box or so to their large screen TV set and then basically see the movie in a large screen. So if you look at the typical idea of a pirate, somebody pirating content, I mean, it's gone from, let's say, a teenage hacker behind his laptop to basically the average consumer just having a box connected to their TV and watching a movie or a sports game on their big screen TV set. And that's where the danger lies, because the number of, let's say, those hackers, I mean, the number will always be relatively limited. If an average consumer can do it and he can watch the movie on his big screen TV set, that's where the real danger is. Okay, next slide, please. So here's where NextGuard comes in. So as Mark, my colleague Mark already said earlier, so we provide watermarking solutions, and I mean, it's very simple what they do. They make content copies traceable. So we've seen that that pirates will try to get content as early as possible. And it can be anywhere in the chain. So they'll basically try to find the weak point in the chain, be it production, post-production, promotion, distribution, final distribution. So they'll find the weakest point and get the content there. So watermarking makes that traceable. So if you look at live sports, watermarking can be used. So for instance, somebody is restreaming a sports game. The watermark can be detected in real time, and then actually the restream can be stopped from the source. So that's in the case of live. If you look at the case of let's say movies, TV, and non-live, of course, I mean, when the copy is out there, in a way, it's too late. But watermarking does play a very important role to basically deter pirates from accessing this content, because it can always be traced back to the source, traced to maybe the subcontractor that leaked a pre-release copy or an e-screener copy, or let's say the subscriber that took a screen grab from their online video service. So it can always be tracked back to the source. So next slide, please. So a very quick 101. So what is watermarking about? So watermarking is basically putting an invisible mark inside video or audio. And typically there's two aspects that are very important. First of all, the watermark has to be invisible. I mean, that's important because otherwise you would spoil the experience, spoil the movie, spoil the sports game. But it's even more important not to give the pirates a target to go for. If a mark is visible, then a pirate will find a way to basically defeat it and take it away. And it doesn't matter. It can be a moving mark. It can even be in a live sports game. We've seen pirates find a way to remove it, even in a live sports game and a moving mark. So invisibility is important. Imperceptibility is important. The second, of course, it has to be robust. So, of course, I mean, even though they can't see it, pirates will still try to do some kind of operation to remove the mark. So they'll do a lot of operations, they'll degrade the content and try to remove the mark. So making it robust is very important. Then next slide, please. So then we'll look a little bit at, let's say, in which parts of the chain is watermarking already used. I think earlier today we talked a lot about production, and I must admit, I mean, there are still a little bit more challenges to use more watermarking there. It is definitely used, but as mentioned before, of course, the production environment can be quite fluid, and a lot of things are set up for this particular production. If we look at where watermarking is used very heavily at the moment, is in post-production, promotion, release. So everywhere in the chain, basically, where a finished or almost finished product is available, asset is available, and then it's moved down the chain. So everywhere where a copy is made available to a subcontractor, to a journalist, to a potential customer, and so on. For instance, this example where you see the seven below. So it could be a subcontractor, for instance, that does dubbing or subtitling. So if he gets a copy of the content, their copy, his copy or her copy will be uniquely marked. So when they would leak it, it can be traced back to them. And they will lose the business, let's say, of of the big studio or the entertainment company. So even though you could say at that moment it's too late, the watermarking, I mean, has been applied already for many years in this kind of scenarios, and it's a very important, a very effective deterrent. So the subcontractor will be very, very careful not to leak the content. So the next slide is talking about another use case where watermarking is used very heavily. So screeners, of course, have been used for many, many years. As NextGuard, in the past, we've been involved quite a bit with physical screeners, meaning disks that are being, let's say, given to management a lot, to of course, to potential customers, to journalists, and so on, for reviews, for awards. So we've watermarked those. But watermarking has become a lot more easy and user-friendly in the case of electronic screeners. So at the moment, as NextGuard, we've already provided our watermarking to each of the six major studios for e-screeners. It's a lot easier to do on e-screener. If you have a physical disk, you can imagine making 1,000 duplicates of a disk. That's basically copying plastic. It's very easy. The moment you have to do it on a physical disk, I mean, basically, you have to do 5 gigabytes of processing for each disk. To insert the video, you have to make sure that the label of the person where the disk goes to actually matches the watermark, and it's invisible, so it's not that easy to check. And if it's wrong, then of course that would be quite bad, right? Because if somebody leaks, you may be fingering the wrong person, so that would be pretty bad. E-screeners make this all automatic. It means that everything is done by the computer, and of course e-screeners are inherently more safe because, as mentioned by Stephen also this morning, you can of course also limit the viewing. You can view one time during this period and so on. So that's why we see e-screeners, and also watermarking with e-screeners has been used very heavily. Next slide, please. So another, I'll be quick here. Digital Cinema has been using watermarking for about 10 years already. So it's been very effective as part of the DCI standard. So of course, when studio moved from, let's say, celluloid to digital in movie theaters, they had to basically distribute 4K digital copies of movies. That was very scary. So they devised the DCI standard and made it very secure, and watermarking was a part of this. So when a movie is projected in the movie theater, both the video and an audio watermark are applied. And basically, if somebody does a camcording in the theater, the time and the place of the recording can be identified. So not the actual person doing it, because that's relatively anonymous. But basically, yeah, we've been involved in quite a number of FBI investigations where indeed this forensic evidence is used to let's say find where it's happening. And for instance, to give an example, not to say anything bad about Russia, but in a number of cases, maybe you'll find that quite a number of digital cinema copies were made, or camcordings was made in a certain Russian city at a certain time. So how else would you find out if you wouldn't have had the watermarking? You would say, well, you know, it's Russian. Well, it doesn't work that way, because they'll make a Russian video copy and then they'll copy maybe the audio from Australia, because they want to have English. So that's why the video and audio watermark is present. Then we go to the next slide, where we show watermarking has also been for a couple of years now, it's been applied for the final distribution at pay TV operators as well. So if you talk about a pay TV operator like a satellite, cable, IPTV, it's broadcast. So the same signal goes to everybody, so you cannot do watermarking on the sender side, you have to do it in the client. So we've worked with quite a number of operators also in the US to basically put watermarking in the set-top box. So the moment the video is played out from the set-top box, then basically a unique watermark is being applied. So typically this is done for premium content. It may not be done for every content, although it's possible. So in this way, so you can identify the subscriber. So if a subscriber takes their HDMI output, makes a copy of a movie and then distributes it, then basically it can be traced back. And it's not about providing a copy to your friend or to a brother or whatever. I mean, it's not about this. It's really when you put it out on the internet and millions of people can get it. And that's when the studios will basically monitor the internet with service companies and then find the copy and then trace it back to the original subscriber. So also here, basically, new technologies have made it easier to apply watermarking as well. So if you look at OTT streaming, because every subscriber basically gets their own copy, you could say. Their own copy is being streamed to them. Therefore, watermarking can be applied on the server side. So basically, you server side, you apply a watermark, and then basically every subscriber of an OTT service will get their own unique copy. So here, of course, it's important that this kind of watermarking supports any ABR format, any resolution, any DRM, and any CDN. So on the NextGuard side, we've applied these systems quite a bit already. So more than 20 million set-top boxes have the NextGuard watermark, and also in terms of OTT streaming. So we supply many operators, and some of them basically do millions of VOD transactions a month using unique watermarks for the premium content. So this gives you a little bit of an overview. So we've come to the last slide. So this gives you a little bit of an overview, let's say, where watermarking is being applied. So it's being applied from production to post-production, promotion, distribution, theaters, as well as end consumers. This is basically one of the many tools that entertainment companies have to have at their disposal, but especially because it's become more about content piracy, this has become quite an important tool for anti-piracy. Thank you. Any questions?
Any quick questions before we go to break? Actually, we're actually over time. I want to make sure that everybody gets some good time to network. If they'll come find Harry on the break, give him a round of applause. Thanks so much for that overview. Back to this computer.